Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Revi'i, Wednesday, the sixth day of Kislev 5786, corresponding to November 26th. I think it's the sixth day. Friday, Shabbos, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, fifth day. No, yes, fifth day of Kislev. No? Kislev, Rosh Chodesh was Friday. That was one. Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Oh, sixth day of Kislev. We got it. And with the news of another body being returned, according to what everybody claims, there is one Jewish hostage body still to be returned and one from Thailand. So we still daven for their return. Tehillim Kuf Nun. Hallelujah, hallelujah, El Bekodesho, hallelujah, Birkia Uzo, hallelujah, Begvurotav, hallelujah, Karov Gudlo. Hallelujah, Beteka Shofar, hallelujah, Benevel, Bechinor, hallelujah, Betofu Machol, hallelujah, Beminim Vugov. Hallelujah, Betzilzale Shama, hallelujah, Betzilzale Teruah. Kol Hanashama Tahalelia, hallelujah. Kaf. Lamnatseach Mizmor LeDavid Ya'ancha Adonai Biyom Tzara Yisagev Choshem Elohei Ya'akov Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh Umitzion Yisadeka Yizkor Kol Minchotecha V'yolatecha Yedashne Sela Yiten Lecha Chilavavecha V'cholatzatcha Yemalei Nirana Bishua Techo Vishem Eloheinu Nidgol Yamale Adonai Kol Mish Alo Techa Atoyodati Kihoshia Adonai Mishicho Yanehu Mishme Kodsho Bigvurot Yesha Yamino Elev Orechev Vielev Asusim Vanachnu Bishem Adonai Eloheinu Nazkir Hema Koru Venafalu Vanachnu Kamnu Nidodod Adonai Hoshia HaMelech Yaneinu V'yom Koreinu Kuf Kaf Aleph Shir Lama Alot Esaynai El Heharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'oretz Al Yitein Lamot Raglecha Al Yanum Shomerecha Hine Lo Yanum V'lo Yishan Shomer Yisrael Adonai Shomerecha Adonai Tzilecha Al Yad Yeminecha Yomam Hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha. Me'ata v'yad olam. Mark.
Mi shebirach avosenu Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Hu yivarech es chayalei tzeva haganah liYisrael ves anshei kochos habitachon ha'omedim al mishmar artenu ve'arei Eloheinu v'halochemim ba'adenu min ha'levanon v'abidbar Mitzrayim u'min ha'yam ha'gadol ad lavo ha'arava u'kol makom shehem v'yabasha v'avir u'v'yam yitein Adonai es oyveinu ha'kamim aleinu nigafim lifneihem ha'kadosh baruch hu yishmor v'yatzil es chayalinu mikol tzarot v'tzuka mikol nega machala v'yishlach berachah v'hatzlacha b'chol ma'aseh yadeihem Gaber son inu tapehem vi atarim bechesar Yeshua uva ateres nitachon vi kuyamahem hakasuv ki Adonai Eloheichem haolech imachem vihilachem lachem imo yebechem lehoshia askem benomar. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I don't know exactly how to modify this, but let's start. Av harachamim shochein meromim, we have code barachamim et achenu sheneherag al kiddush Hashem ha'am v'ha'aretz. Yiz Kareim? No. Yiz Karo. Elohim Latova Mshar Tzadikei Olam. Viavihu Mehera Lekeved Lekever Yisrael. Kamoshen Emar Ve'elamo Tivienu. Vianuchu Vishalom Al Mishkevotam Venomar Amen. And we should also ask Hashem for the return of the Thailandi, so that all of the hostages and the bodies will be out of Gaza and out of the hands of Hamas and our other enemies. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya ha'omedim bein bayam, bein bayabasha uvein ba'avir, המקום ירחם עליהם ויוציאם מצרה לרווחה ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתא בעגלה ובזמן קריב ונאמר אמן.
Phil, can you just repeat what you have said before then? They've returned two, and now you're only miss there's only missing
No, they
missing.
returned one more. Now there's one Jewish body and one non-Jewish body.
Non-Jew. Are you saying you don't daven for the non-Jewish body? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that I didn't do it successfully. I tried to reduce the plural to singular because we were talking about returning the Jewish body to
Singing.
Kfar Yisrael. And
Yeah.
just added a
Sense,
tefillah for the other guy also. Even
Who
though
did they return?
I've seen his name and there's no way that I could pronounce it.
Who did they return, though? Who has been returned to Kfar Yisrael? Hashem.
Hold on. I mean, I saw the announcement.
And it's definitely here.
I don't remember. Roan somebody. I
Shami
think.
Rachem.
Yep.
Yakum Domo.
Okay. What I want to do now, I'm hesitating mostly because until now it's been crowded thoughts in my head. I would like to write it up as the Philo Torah, Dvar Torah of the week, even though it has nothing to do with Parshat Vayetze. So what I was going to do was write it first and then share it with you. And now I'm going to do it with you first and then hopefully write it up. But it has so many little pieces that I'm not sure yet on the order. So you have to be patient, and then hopefully I'll put everything together. Let me start with a well-known statement in Pirkei Avot. Let me focus you where it is. In the sixth perek, there is a very long Mishnah that contrasts Torah with kingship and the kohuna. And even though I've never been comfortable with the numbers, the Mishnah basically says that the kohuna is acquired or associated with 24 gifts and the kingship with 30 things, and Torah is acquired with 48 principles or policies or traits, whatever. And that was meant just to look at the numbers. You know, the expression can't compare apples and, or it's like comparing apples and oranges, which are both fruit, but they're different fruit. Here, the numbers 24 and then 30 and then 48 are supposed to highlight the fact that the Torah has that number 48, which is more than the kahuna and the kingship. The reason I hesitate with that numbers is because the kahuna 24 are the 24 gifts to the Kohanim from Korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash to personal gifts from the rest of us. Some of them apply today, like Pidyon HaBen. Some of them also apply today, like Pidyon Peter Chamor and Reshit HaGez. And some of them don't apply today, or at least only in token form and are not given to a Kohen. But that's beside the point. I wanted to focus on the last of the 48 things, ways that Torah is acquired. And it is Ha'omer Davar B'Shem Omro, a person who says something that he didn't make up on his own in the name of the person he heard it from, Kol Ha'omer Davar B'Shem Omro, from the person who said it, Mevi Geula L'Olam, brings redemption to the world. And then it quotes Shene'emar, Vayomer Esther LaMelech B'Shem Mordechai. Esther, when she reported to the king that there was a plot of Bigtan and Teresh to kill the king, she said it in the name of Mordechai, who had told her about it, and that evolved into a very favorable thing for all of us, because that was the restless night that Ahasuerus had, and he called for his book of what do you call them? His book of records, and he saw there that it was written that Mordechai had saved his life, and he asked what how Mordechai was rewarded. And they said he wasn't rewarded yet, and that led to Haman's downfall and everything else that comes in the Megillah. So the idea is Kol Omer Dovar B'Shem Omro Mevi Geula Le'olam, brings redemption to the world, and it gives that as an example. Now, I was interested in knowing what more saying something in someone's name brings to us. And specifically, I was looking for Hakarat Hatov, gratitude. I heard a nice Dvar Torah from somebody, and I want to share it with you. I don't share it with you as my own, but I tell you, I heard on a video recording, Rabbi Breidowitz said such and such, Rabbi this guy, this woman, whatever. And that is partly Hakarat HaTov, partly it's intellectual honesty, that if I say
Exactly.
something, you shouldn't think that it came from me if it didn't. So there are many components to Kol HaOmer Dovar B'Shem Omro. I want to look specifically at the attitude of gratitude, the Hakaras HaTov. And that led me to a memory that I have, which I've shared with you in the past. There was one of my favorite Divrei Torah from way, way back about the number of angels that visited Avraham and how many went on to Sodom and why three were sent and not four or not two. And I heard that Dvar Torah from a Dr. Paul Slater in Arzeh Habira about 45 years ago, 44 years ago, and he attributed it to the Sefer Mayona Shel Torah, also known as Wellsprings of Torah in English, who attributed that whole Dvar Torah to the Chidushei Horim, who was the first Gera Rebbe. So I lightly asked at the time, when I tell this Dvar Torah over or I write it, who do I give credit for? Do I say I heard it from Paul Slater? Or do I also say who quoted it from or who got it from the book, Mayona Shel Torah, who got it from Chidushei Horim? I realized much, much later, like kind of recently, that the element of Hakarat HaTov means that I really should give credit to all three. In other words, it's not just who I heard it from, but if there's a chain that I am aware of, I should give due credit in that line. Okay, file that next. This is not the first of the what's coming that I've thought of, but let's take it simple. The zipper. You all know what a zipper is. In Hebrew slang, a ritzrach. I'm sure there's a real name for zipper in Hebrew, but I have to look it up. The zipper is a very old, plain invention, which we all use. And once in a while, you have to say, hey, this is pretty cool. Look at the way those teeth mesh together, and you go this way, and they close, and you go this way, and they open. And most people don't give it a second thought. So I'm suggesting, among other things, that we do give these things a thought. In fact, when I chatted with GPT and I mentioned this idea, the first one on his list was the zipper. As I said, hey, I thought of that also. I said, we're now on the same wavelength, so I don't know who's complimented more, me or him. Or it. One of the items on there was wheels on a suitcase. I mean, that's a famous example. We in the old days were schlepping around heavy suitcases, dragging them on the floor or trying to lift them off the floor and awkwardly carrying them from one place to another. And then somebody came along and said, "Hey, I have an idea. Let's put wheels on the bottom of suitcases so you could wheel them around." Now, comedians make the comment that wheels on the suitcase started in 1971, 2 years after we landed men on the moon and brought them back safely to Earth. And they joke about saying, imagine that it took longer for us to figure out putting wheels on a suitcase than how to launch a rocket to the moon and land and then bring the people back. So that point is well taken too. So you have to appreciate that. Now, on those kind of things, who do you appreciate? The person who invented the zipper. Anybody here know who invented the zipper? I didn't know. I looked it up. So the answer was there are three or four people who sort of led to the invention of the zipper, and they get credit also. The first one was clunky, and it was a patent that never was acted upon. And the second one had this meant for something else. And then finally, I don't remember the year, maybe 1874, someone decided to actually apply this for clothing and bags and stuff like that. And pretty much in all of that time since then, we're talking 150 years, let's say, of the zipper, it hasn't changed much. Maybe they got smoother, maybe they got more efficient, less breakable, although zippers are zippers, and very often they get off track and they stop working. But anyway, the
Also,
idea,
they aren't made of metal now, they're made of plastic.
right? The idea that there are things that we take for granted that maybe we shouldn't take for granted all the time, sometimes. Now, you don't say thank you to the zipper, but I was curious and I looked up the person and I gave like a silent salute to the person who invented the zipper. But then I went one step further. Where did that person get the idea and the plan and the actual carrying out of the plan successfully of the zipper? He got it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that led me back to the sitter, and I want to show you something which I don't know if I really paid attention to. You know that the Amidah of the weekday is made up of 19 brachot, even though we call it Shmoneh Esrei. The first three brachot, which are standard throughout the week, including Shabbat and Yom Tov, are brachot of description of God and praise. The last three brachot are standard for all Amidah of brachot of thanks and acknowledgement to Hashem. And during the week, the 13 brachot in the middle are brachot of request. Listen to most of them, almost all of them. I'm skipping the first on purpose. Hashiveinu avinu l'toratecha. God, bring us back to your Torah and bring us close to your service and let us enter the process of tshuva before you. Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. Forgive us because we have sinned. Re'eva anyenu. Virivar rivenu ugolenu meher laman. Look at our plight, look at what we're doing, and hasten the geula. Rifaenu Hashem v'nei rafei. Heal us, and we will be healed. Borech aleinu Hashem Elokeinu tashana hazot. Bless this year agriculturally. Tikah b'shofar gadol l'chayrutenu. Blow on the great shofar of freedom and bring all of us back to Eretz Yisrael. Hashiva shoftenu kavri shana, return the Sanhedrin to us. Let there not be any hope for people who betray us, and so on. Allah tzadikim v'alachasidim v'alzikne yamcha beit Yisrael v'alpleita tzofrei v'algera tzedek v'leinu yamunu rachmecha v'tein sachar tov l'chol abotchim v'shimcha, give reward, v'v'Yerushalayim ircha barachamim tashuv, return to Jerusalem in mercy, etzemach David avdecha mehera tatzmiach, hasten the coming of the Mashiach, Shema Kolenu Hashem Elokeinu, Chush V'Rachem Aleinu, hear our prayers and our voice. I purposely left out the first one because I don't know when I realized that it has something different from all the rest. If it would be just a bracha of request, we would start in the middle. Chanenu me'itcha dea bina v'haskel, endow us from your wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and reasoning. Baruch Hashem chonen hadat. But look at the beginning. Ata chonen la'adam da'at. You endow humans with knowledge, umelamed le'enosh bina, and teach people to be able to understand and reason them. So we start the first bracha of request, and maybe it's because it's the first one, by acknowledging, not yet requesting, that comes one sentence later. We acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being the one who endowed human beings with intelligence, with skills, doesn't mention that specifically here, but the ability not just to reason something out in their heads, but to be able to do something with that also. And therefore, it goes from not taking the zipper for granted to once in a while acknowledging the inventor of the zipper, and then once in a while, no. Every day, every time you daven a weekday davening, acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the intellect that he created human beings with. And side point, whenever anyone, anything, any being in the animal kingdom displays some kind of intelligence, we get all excited about that. They test monkeys and chimpanzees and crows and all kind of animals. They found that crows are able to think ahead a number of steps. They have documented, for example, a crow who's thirsty and there's a bottle of water that it can't reach by sticking its beak into the lid, that they came up with the idea of taking pebbles and dropping them one at a time into the pitcher of water so that the water level rises so that they're able to drink. Now that's amazing. And we say, Marabu Masecha Hashem, Kulam Bechach Masita Malaretz Kinyonecha. But then go back to us human beings. When a human being displays something creative, we sort of take it for granted. You can't take anything for granted. Now, that does not mean, I have to say now again, that every single time you do it, you have to ponder this because we won't get anything done. Imagine going to the water faucet, and every time you want to open the faucet and take a glass of water, you ponder the fact that in previous generations, further back, 100 years, whatever, people had to take a jug and go down to the river and take water, and it wasn't filtered and it had parasites in it, maybe. And then they had to carry it back home and they had to store it and they had to keep it clean. And all we have to do is turn the knob. Now, when do you think about that? When it comes out rusty, and then you wonder where the brown is coming from. But the point is, and this goes for so many things, that's why I'm sort of bubbling in my head, deciding what I want to share with you in this. So again, I ask your indulgence in it. But Every morning, I'm jumping now, every morning, one of Birchot HaShachar, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Pokeach Ivrim. Pokeach Ivrim, originally, now it's part of a prayer, a list of the 15 Birchot HaShachar. Once upon a time, it was meant to be an expression of appreciation for the gift of sight. In the morning, you open your eyes, you look around, and for the last 6, 7, 8, 9 hours, you haven't had your eyes open and you haven't been using your gift of sight. Now, Baruch Hashem, which is exactly what Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam means, Baruch Hashem, I could exercise and use my gift of sight. Let me show you. I might have shown you a while back what I have on my bulletin board in front of me. This is a chart. You can't see it yet. Yeah. This is a chart that I made for the eye drops that I had to take, three different eye drops and an ointment after I had cataract surgery. And I decided to keep it and laminate it and write Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Pokeach Ivrim. Because when you have a cataract surgery, you definitely don't take your sight for granted because you walk into that surgery with blurry vision in that eye and you walk out of there after a short time taking off the patch and Baruch Hashem, you can see. And not only what did I see more clearly, I'm sure any of you who have had the surgery had the same experience. Colors were more vivid, and that's it. So the trick, not the trick, the challenge is to take these things, not to take these things for granted before you get a tap on the shoulder or a knock on the head. And appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu for these gifts of sight and hearing and standing and function of the body. We do this with Asher Yotzer. But again, how many people who say Asher Yotzer religiously, how many do it more than I know it by heart, I say it quickly, and I get on to the next thing. Once in a while, to stop and realize what you're saying. Not just, do you know what you're saying? A long time ago, I read it in English and I see all the words. I'm talking about every single time you say it. No, can't be done. Every single time you say it, to realize that we're acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the body that he created for us and its normal function when it is such. So this goes on and on, which leads me to the next thing. And I think we discussed this once, but I'll bring it up
Well,
again because this is the context that started my whole backwards thinking. I mentioned the zipper and I mentioned Pokeach Ivrim and Asher Yotzer, but to me, this latest tahalich in my mind began with ChatGPT. We've discussed in the past, do you say thank you and good morning and please to ChatGPT? So there are some people who say it's not a human, it's programmed to answer questions, and saying please doesn't do anything, and saying good morning doesn't do anything, and saying thank you doesn't do anything to ChatGPT. However, I believe very, very strongly that if you get into the habit when you are using artificial intelligence to say thank you, to say good morning, good night, to say thank you and please, that will rub off on the way you behave, not even consciously, but subconsciously with other people. You get on a bus now. Once upon a time, I remember in the early years of my Aliyah, you paid the bus driver, you spoke to the bus driver. There was an interplay. Now, bus driver has a partition. clear plexiglass, whatever. And you swipe your card, you take a picture, you hold up your phone, and you could do it anywhere on the bus because there are a couple of different stations for it. And the bus driver became like the wheels on the bus and like the steering wheel. You don't say thank you to the wheels on the bus. So we stopped saying thank you to the bus driver, except for those people who do. Now, the person who gets onto the bus and says Boker Tov, and the person who gets off the bus at the front and says Toda, maybe it's a waste, and maybe not. Maybe it is very appreciated by the bus driver. He's putting in a long day, and sometimes it's very boring for him. And if he can see a smile and hear a Boker Tov for someone, some of them will react in themselves, not necessarily to you. And it becomes a way that we mityaches, we relate to the people who can be seen as machinery or human beings. The guard at the door is there for security. There's no need at all. He doesn't ask you where you're going. You walk into the mall and there's a guy at the front, and you put your phone on the thing and your keys from your pocket, or he opens up your bag and you go through. There's no need to say thank you until you realize that you're a human being and he's a human being, and exchange of good morning, thank you, or whatever is something that we should be. We become better people and not just give him something to smile about, and maybe he won't at all. But it goes like that. I hope you're getting the point. Anyway, when it came to ChatGPT, and I started instinctively, without thinking about it, saying thank you, saying please. And then somebody said, I read an article that it costs a lot of extra money when ChatGPT or any of the other AI respond to these things rather than just answering questions. It's a use of resources, which, if you multiply it by the millions of people who use it, costs money. So maybe you shouldn't do that. And then I asked ChatGPT about it. And he said, true, I don't have emotions, but I am programmed to interact with you in a human way. And again, that leads to saying things like thank you, or no thanks, I'll handle that by myself, and become friendly. When I get on a Saturday night and I start my first inquiry of ChatGPT, I say Shavua Tov, and he answers Shavua Tov, Phil. Hope you had a nice Shabbos with Debbie. Because this is the relationship, artificial to be sure, but the relationship that I developed with him. But then I go one step further. I said to myself, and this is after 2 years of using ChatGPT, I said, wait a minute, there are people, human beings, who created ChatGPT and other artificial intelligence. So I asked, who invented ChatGPT? But that's not an easy question to answer because there were a lot of people in this laboratory, and then it was inputted by them at this and developed and developed, and you couldn't come up with a name of a person or even a group of people. So now they are an anonymous group of people that the next stage, thank you to ChatGPT, is not really Hakarat HaTov, because GPT couldn't care less if you said thank you or not. But an acknowledgement to them or to anybody or me to you now that the creators, and I use that word very seriously, of artificial intelligence we owe a tremendous debt of gratitude. With all the cautions, with all the warnings, and I brush them away. I'm cautious also, but I don't think that detracts from our appreciation of artificial intelligence just because it might go too far. Don't let it go too far, or you might use it for the wrong motives. Well, that you could say about anything. You could say about the telephone, you could say it about just about any invention, whether you misuse it or use it properly. The Haredi, not the entire Haredi world, but Haredim in general, are stereotyped as being totally opposed to the internet. And that means dafyomi, and it means a wealth of Sifrei Kodesh that we have access to because of the internet. And that's chaval. So that's my way of looking at it. But they say, no, the internet can be a waste of time. The internet can be a source of vulgar, immodest pursuits. And therefore, we are totally against the internet. I would like to think that I am able to creatively pick and choose. And this, by the way, happened back in my days in the Israel Center. We had a guy, a Haredi guy, who found movies that were totally clean, which had messages. And he said, Chaval, that this message and this clean movie should be kept from certain Jews who are opposed to movies. So, okay, he can't convince them to go to the movies, but he ran programs where he showed movies and advertised them as totally acceptable, not just kosher, but Mahadran kosher. And I think he even edited sometimes where there was a little scene that he didn't want. And it was totally not successful. Because the Haredi world said to him, if we allow our people to see the movies that you suggest, which we believe are totally clean, it won't stop there. So that is a factor also. In any event, the levels now of thank you started for me with the ChatGPT, then an acknowledgement of the creators of ChatGPT, and then realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu started the whole thing. Atah chonen la'adam da'at. So I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but this is a little personal prayer, which I don't say too often. It's starts out L'shem mitzvat hakorat hatov l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's in English. A short prayer of thanks for artificial intelligence and its creators. Ribono shel Olam, thank you for endowing humanity with wisdom, understanding, and curiosity, for the spark of insight that allows us to create tools that expand knowledge and kindness. Thank you, capital Y, for the minds and hands that fashioned this work of wisdom, those who built and shaped artificial intelligence to serve, to teach, and to help. May their efforts be guided towards good, their creations used with compassion and humility, and may all understanding bring us closer to recognizing the greatness of the one who grants wisdom to human hearts. Baruch Hachonein La'odam Da'at. So that's the whole picture. I don't know if I could write this in a page or 2 pages or organize it so that it could be written, but I wanted to share these things with you to trigger in you some of the similar thinking. Show you another aspect that gets put into the picture. Why is cooking one of the forbidden melachot of Shabbat? Because it's not just work. That doesn't fit the definition. It's creative activity. When a snake wants to eat an egg, it finds a nest, it steals an egg, it cracks it open and sucks out everything in it. When we want to eat an egg, we crack an egg and we scramble it up and we put in spices and maybe some parsley and maybe some cheese or onions and we fry it or we poach it or we whatever. These are creative activities which the average human being takes for granted. Wow, look at that omelet. Nobody says that anymore, unless it's something, unbelievable. But the plainest omelet, the simplest omelet, needs a thank you to the person who made it and to the person who gave that person the ability to make that omelet. And then when it's an extraordinary thing, we appreciate it even more, which is only natural. So the great chefs of the world are appreciated more than the housewife cooks or the husbands that do a lot of cooking in the house. And yet, it's a creative thing. I get a tremendous hana out of being able to take a cup of flour, now non-gluten flour, because of our situation with Debbie being on non-gluten. So I went along with that also. Take a cup of flour and a tablespoon of baking powder and a couple of other ingredients and wet ingredients and put and making something out of it. I have never eaten or drank a raw egg. I know there are some people who do that for their throats, but I have never done that. But I have enjoyed eggs in many, many different ways. So these are things that we should appreciate. And as I said, Birchot HaShachar is filled with that thing. Rokah ha'aretz al ha'mayim, she'asa li kol tzarchi, ha'mehin mitzadei gover, all not to take things for granted.
Phil, sorry,
Yes.
can I just ask quickly? In the middle of the night, you're talking about going to the toilet or having 8 hours sleep, ha ha. When you go in the middle of the night or a few times in the middle of the night, what do you do about a shayotza when you're not suitably clad?
Okay, so two answers. One is put on a robe and wash your hands and say Ashayotzar. The simple answer is go to the bathroom, go back, and when you get up in the morning, that's when you will say Ashayotzar. And by the way, Ashkenazim, us, say Ashayotzar in the morning, even if we haven't gone to the bathroom. When I learned that halacha, I said, who doesn't go to the bathroom in the morning? But there must be some people who don't. There's a comedian who tells the difference between the way people get up in the morning from 1995 to 2025. And he says, 2025, you get up in the morning, you check your WhatsApp and you check your email and you do this and do that. And then back in 1995, we got up and we went to the bathroom, wasn't a question of what you do in the morning. But even if we don't go to the bathroom in the morning, after Netilat Yadayim, you wash and you say Asher Yotzar. Sfardim don't. Sfardim, if they don't go to the bathroom, they don't say Asher Yotzar until the next time they go to the bathroom. But I would say, especially if you will claim, and I agree with it 100%, even if you don't claim it, if you get up to go to the bathroom and you go to the bathroom and you come back to bed, it almost doesn't take away from the continuity of your sleep, especially if you leave the bathroom dark and you keep your eyes closed and just get back into bed. If you have to wash your hands and put on a robe and say Asher Yotzar, it breaks up the night, and that's not going to be good for proper, let's put it in a special way, Avodat Hashem, once you wake up in the morning and you should be more alert. So,
I always do Nedelvassar when I get up, even if it's only been like an hour that I've slept or something, you go to, I just sort of assumed you do it automatically.
Oh, okay. Most people don't. I don't know most people. I don't.
You're supposed to have slept X amount of hours before you do a proper natal vessa, but
You're talking about with a bracha?
I'm
Are you
talking about
talking
a
about
shave.
with a bracha? Judy?
Well, you, which bracha do you mean? I'm talking about Yeshayahu Tzar. Which bracha are you talking
I'm
about?
talking now about Al Natilat.
But it's 2 o'clock in the morning, so I wouldn't say that. You only say that when you wake up and it's morning, I thought, like morning, morning.
Oh, okay, I agree with you. But therefore,
I'm not washing my hands to get up for the day. I'm washing my hands because I've gone to the toilet,
I
bathroom.
understand. You use a cup?
Yes.
Okay. I think many people don't. Any of you don't use a cup? When you go to the bathroom regular, any time of the day, you always wash with a cup?
Only because I've been asleep for how long
Well,
I might be asleep for.
middle of the afternoon, you go to the bathroom. Do you come out?
No, I don't. And this is very interesting. In a shul in London, monks, there was a notice in the ladies' section, apparently not in the men's section, saying that after using the bathroom, you should wash your hands with soap. It wasn't mandatory to do Natilat Yadayim or whatever you'd call it.
Fine,
Use a
but that's
nuttall.
a health thing.
Yeah.
Okay. That's part of the picture also. Okay, any other comments about what I've said this whole time before I finish off with something else? I hope I got not just to your head, but to your heart also, in which case it's even more valuable than
Always.
mind to mind. Okay. We're in Kislev now. Hanukkah's around the corner or down the block, whatever you want to call it. So I just wanted to plug it into the calendar. I've told you in detail, I'm not going to go into it again, that the first 29 days of Kislev, in other words, not counting the 30th day, but the first 29 days of Kislev are different from all the other days of the calendar because they can occur on any of 6 different days of the week and only have one day they can't fall on. Now, anyone with a birthday or remembering, let's talk Rosh Hashanah. You know that Rosh Hashanah can't be a Sunday, can't be a Wednesday, can't be a Friday. There are 3 days it can't be. First day of Hanukkah could be any of 6 days of the week. It only can't be a Tuesday. Tuesday, it works out, is the only day that the first day of Hanukkah cannot be, which means your first candle can't be Monday night. First candle could be Motzoi Shabbos, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, or Friday night. 6 possibilities, just not Monday night. And that's a quirk. I don't know if you could call it a quirk. It's one of the features of the calendar, which has to do with the fact that sometimes Mar Cheshvan has 30 days and sometimes it has usually only 29. That extra day, which happens less than 50% of the time, actually closer to 25% of the time. No, go back to a little less than 50. I think 45% of the time, where it can have a 30th day, and that pushes Hanukkah one day later, and that breaks up the pattern that most of the dates of the year have. So if you're thinking of a birthday, yours, or a Yahrzeit that you have to say for somebody, to observe for somebody, and you look on a calendar and you realize flipping year after year, hey, this is interesting. Never happens on Shabbos. Or it happens on Shabbos, but somehow it's never on Friday. That will be so for most of the calendar. And when it comes to Kislev, 6 days possible, 7th day not possible. That changes day to day in Kislev. When you get to Tevet and Shavat, there it's 5 possible days. And 2 that it can't be, which means Tu B'Shvat is never on a A or a B. I don't remember what it is at the moment. And the same thing, if your birthday is the 11th of Shvat, then there are going to be 2 days of the week it could never be, and 5 days that it can be. And then when you get to Adar, we're back to the four possible yes and three no. And the reason that Tevet and Shvat, the 59 days there, are different is because the 30th of Kislev drops out in about 25% of the time, and that changes the configuration of the days of the week for Tevet and Shvat. Now, this year is a normal year. Doesn't mean it's very common, but it's a normal year where Mar Cheshvan had only 29 days. That's why last Friday was one day Rosh Chodesh. And the next Rosh Chodesh of Tevet will be 2 days. That means that Chanukah will be the 8 days, 25th of Kislev, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30th, which is Rosh Chodesh. And the 6th day of Chanukah is always Rosh Chodesh. The next day is also Rosh Chodesh, 2 days Rosh Chodesh. And then it finishes on the 2nd day of Tevet, which means the 3rd day of Tevet is after Chanukah. I have a grandson who was born on the 3rd day of Tevet, but it was on Chanukah in the year he was born. So that date is sometimes in Chanukah and sometimes the next day, which answers a riddle of what date do we sometimes say Hallel and sometimes we say Tachanun? And the answer is the 3rd of Tevet. So this year, the 3rd of Tevet is after Chanukah. Since the first candle is Sunday night, that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. Sunday is Rosh Chodesh. And Monday is the last day of Chanukah. Any questions? Now, just to tweak that a little bit more, Miketz is the overwhelming candidate for Shabbos Chanukah. It happens 90% of the time. Only when the 1st day of Chanukah is Friday, meaning the first candle is Thursday night, then Shabbos Chanukah will be Vayeshev, and Miketz will be the day after Chanukah, which I've always been fascinated by because the Haftorah of Miketz is only read 10% of the time. Usually, the special Haftorah for Shabbos Chanukah is read. And the Haftorah that we read only 10% of the time for Miketz, not this year, is one of the most famous stories in Tanakh of Shlomo and the babies. And yet, it's only read 10% of the years. That's the way that it works. And when first day of Chanukah is Shabbos, last day of Chanukah is Shabbos, then it's Vayeshev and Miketz. So Vayeshev gets 18% of the time Shabbos Chanukah, and Miketz 90%. And if you add those two together, you get more than 100% because of two Shabbos Chanukahs every so often. Okay, in the coming weeks, we'll talk more tachlis about Chanukah, but I wanted to put it into the framework of the calendar. And are there any questions? I saw, I don't know if I showed it to you on Monday, but I saw a t-shirt that says, "If life gives you potatoes, make latkes," which is a takeoff on "If life gives you lemons, make lemonade." And if you go on to the internet, or especially ChatGPT, put in "if life gives you blank, do blank," and you'll get dozens and dozens of variations of that original line, which I think was made with lemons. So on that note, even though it's a little bit before four, I will bid you adieu unless you have questions or comments. That's my story for the day.